Welcome to the sixth episode of the It's Been Said podcast. I'm your host, SAI Executive Director Lisa Ramey. Each show is dedicated to conversations on leadership as we further SAI's mission to support, encourage, and develop Iowa's educational leaders and learners. In this episode, hear from Dustin Smith, the 2023 Iowa Assistant Secondary Principal of the Year from Nevada, on a collaborative approach to discipline, creating relationships, student internships, thoughts on hiring, and much more that's packed into this conversation. So Dustin Smith, Assistant High School Principal and Activities Director at Nevada, where he has served since 2017. Before taking on his current role, Smith was at Osage Community Schools for 4 years as Activities Director, Business Teacher, Professional Learning Community Coach, Football Coach, DECA Advisor, and Bus Driver. Prior to Osage, he was at Janesville Schools, where he was AD and Business Teacher, Track Baseball Football Coach, Technology Coordinator, Summer Grounds Crew, Bus Driver, DECA Advisor, National Honor Society Advisor, and Technology Team Advisor. So welcome, Dustin, and I want to thank you so much for joining me on the SAI It's Been Said podcast.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's begin by just you telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, your family, just whatever you'd like to share about you.
So I'm Dustin Smith, Assistant Principal Activities Director at Nevada Community Schools. My family is my wife, Toni Smith. She's a middle school math teacher here at Nevada as well. And kind of the reason we live in Central Iowa is she's a Colonesco graduate. I'm a North Iowa guy myself, and kind of moved her home, and we're around a lot of her family down here now. We have three kids, Brooklyn, Cameron, and Madeline. They're 7, 5, and 3, and they keep us pretty busy. But they're all pretty individual, and they're pretty cool kids. So we spend a lot of time with them. So a little bit about my family. The reason we're kind of here in Nevada and in Central Iowa.
Awesome. Very well. Yeah. With you being an administrator, your wife being an educator, and three girls, you're a busy, busy, busy family for sure. So.
Yep.
All right. So when you think about your role as the assistant principal, what's something that you would change about the role and or perception of the assistant principal role?
Yeah. So I wrote about this a little bit when we're going through the process for assistant principal of the year nominations. And I think it's really important to have like a collaborative approach to discipline. I think that oftentimes when you hear assistant principal, it's, well, he's the guy that deals with discipline. And really at Nevada, it's a lot more than that. I'm fortunate enough, I just got done with a teacher evaluation of one of our great English teachers. And I get to dabble as assistant principal into a lot of other things, but I only get to do that because of our collaborative approach to discipline. My principal, Dr. Einsweiler, and I, if there's something related to discipline, we tag team it if it's something that's big. But there's a lot of things that, yeah, I'll take the lead on as far as that goes. But if you don't have your administrative team and then even your teachers on board to be the disciplinarian of all children, that doesn't work. And I think the front end of it for us here at Nevada is that we focus on creating relationships with kids. So discipline in itself doesn't often have to make it even to the office level, where a teacher can actually, because they're part of that collaboration, have that relationship with that kid. And maybe that doesn't even escalate itself to a need to talk to an administrator. But I think that's one perception that I'd change about like the assistant principal role, where you're in charge of discipline. Well, we kind of all are. And if we can all work together on that, your community and your building end up being a lot better environment.
Yeah, I really appreciate your perspective there, Dustin, and really like how you even pulled in teachers, because really that's that first level, right? We always want to make sure that our teachers are handling the pieces that they can. And with those relationships that you talked about, which actually is a good, great segue to my next question, that makes a world of difference when it comes to discipline and whether you have discipline or not. So positive relationships, we all know, improve student behavior. So brain research supports the idea that early relationships and interactions, including those with teachers, staff, and administrators, play a key or central role in shaping children's behavior and social skills. So how do you build relationships with your students?
And this can be really complex. We talked about this a little bit, a recent book study at an admin meeting. And just an example of this, a student I felt like I had a really strong relationship with, we talked almost every day. And I remember we were approaching graduation, and in the last 2 weeks, he's like, "Smith, I really thought you hated me. One time in seventh grade, you yelled at me for sliding down the stairwell at a basketball game. And I just always thought that you just hated me." And I'm like, and I won't say the student's name, but said, "Hey, like, I don't remember that, but that was really important to that student when he was in seventh grade. And it was something that stuck with him. And we think about just maybe what seems like a simple supervision at a football game, and you redirect the student, and your approach to redirecting that student might have an impact on that relationship that I have as a high school assistant principal 6, 7, 8, 9 years later, just because of how that student perceives you. And that's their perception, and they own that, right? So I think it's really complex, because you're creating some of those relationships before you even know you're creating them in the roles that we have. You're creating them with middle school students. You're creating some of those relationships even with parents before their students even get to the high school level, if you're at the high school level. So you have to be mindful of how you approach students, how you redirect students. And then when you are working with the students, I think it's very important to let the student know that you feel like they're capable. If we're talking about a student who's been habitually tardy, I bring them in and I'm talking to them about that. It's not a positive conversation, but through the conversation, I let them know, like, "Hey, like, we know you're capable of being to school on time. Show me," you know, and you create that relationship, and then you create that check-in a couple of days later. "Hey, you're doing a great job staying, getting to school on time. How's this other positive thing going?" And there's really a lot of layers to creating that relationship. And you never know when it can start positively, and you might start it negatively, and you might have a lot of work to do catching up. So whatever you can do to lay the groundwork of a positive relationship with those early interactions with students, I think, are really important.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I hadn't thought about always that supervision time and how that can help or hinder, right, relationships. And while we're thinking we're redirecting for safety purposes or whatever it may be, boy, sometimes students can hold on to things that then make that relationship even harder when there's other interactions later on in life. So,
yeah. And they're not always going to be perfect interactions, right? And I already know a couple of students that as they come in to be freshmen next year, I'm going to have my work cut out for me. And I'm going to try to lay some of that groundwork here, you know, before the end of the school year. So it's not just pop back right in school. But yeah, it's just, you know, being mindful of every interaction. The other person owns the perception of that. And how are you being perceived, and how are you creating some grace and some goodwill with the students?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, Dustin, we know that you've implemented a student intern program there. So share with us and our listeners on the intern's responsibilities, how it serves the students and the Nevada school.
Yeah, I would say that without giving credit to Dr. Asmus, our associate superintendent, he's really laid the groundwork for student internships in general at Nevada Community Schools. What I've done in my role is, especially as we work through COVID and after COVID, there's been a creation of a need for a lot of different things now. And by things, I mean, there's communication pieces now that people come to expect that weren't necessarily an expectation before COVID. With activities, there's an expectation that schools are providing a live feed for parents and grandparents to watch their students participate in activities. And then furthermore, I think there's just a heightened promotion of your school district and your programs on social media. So what I've done is I've created some positions within the high school, built upon what Dr. Asmus started with our internship program. And I've created four or five, depending on the year, intern programs that students can apply for, they interview for, and then they kind of get evaluated on as they move through it. So the first one that really came to creation was, I call it the Technology Ambassadors. And I have a student who leads the Technology Ambassador Program. And essentially that student's in charge of organizing, recruiting, and then like hiring people to run our live feeds, our video boards at games. We try to have a ground camera, for a lack of a better term, like the KISS camera that you might see at like a Major League Baseball game. We try to add different camera angles that aren't just your stationary view of a game to create a good looking broadcast. And that takes manpower. It takes students to help with that. And the technology ambassador intern leads that program. And right now it's her name is Kira, and she's doing a great job. We kind of just wound down the basketball season. We don't have as many needs in the spring. So Kira and I will go in and reflect on how things looked. Fortunately, she's a junior, so I get her for one more year. Those transition years are typically the hardest when we have to go to someone new. Another example is we created a media content intern. I have a student right now that he went to Nebraska, and he's actually working in their media creation content down there. And he's been fortunate enough to create some hype videos for Cornhusker football down there. And he gave me another student who he thought would be good at it. Her name's Mel. She's taken over as the media content intern. We've got to get a meeting set up. She needs to, she's got to prep our soccer hype videos here coming up. That's another internship opportunity we created. And then I found myself spending a lot of time creating social media, I'll call them game cards or communication pieces for the community and the parents. It was taking just a portion of my morning every day that I probably needed to do some more AP work than maybe AD work there. And I put that internship opportunity out, and a student named Drew has stepped up to the plate and done an awesome job creating some of those game cards and taking some communication pieces that I think our communities come to expect. If that went away, which I don't know that I have the time to do that. If that went away, I don't think it would go over well, but all three of those students have really stepped up and taken on some tasks as interns that have really set us apart and created a spot where we can really promote our students.
Yeah, Dustin, thanks for sharing those specifics. You know, we in the state of Iowa, there's a lot of conversation around student internships and, you know, really having relevant work experiences. And, you know, oftentimes when I talk to people across our state, they look and go, well, gosh, there's not a lot of opportunities within our community. So they don't feel like they can incorporate some of that school to work, I guess I'll call it, kinds of things in school. But look at you, you've done giving these kids just right there within Nevada schools great experiences that can help them either learn that they like that type of work, or maybe they find out they don't, or hey, this is, gosh, I want to take, you know, go further with this. in my educational career too. So you're a leader for even right there within your school walls and boundaries, being able to provide some of those opportunities for kids. So thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you've been commended by those who work with you in your district for just being someone who works tirelessly to improve overall systems. So talk to me about how you take a systems approach, or maybe you can provide some examples of that for our listeners.
Yeah, I think when you talk about like overall systems, it can be kind of a wide open idea. I would say, like, by nature, I'm a fixer. And if you talk to my wife and she says something, I'm trying to fix it, but really what she wanted me to do is listen. So sometimes I get in trouble when I try to go fix things, right? But as a fixer, you see a problem, and sometimes we even create the problems in our head, right? It might not even be a problem yet. But then, like, I want to go tackle that, right? So one thing that we've done, and I will be honest, we're just getting the group back together after COVID. We created a advisory group, the Athletic Coaches Advisory Committee. I felt like as an AD at Janesville and Osage, sometimes I'd make decisions in a vacuum and I wasn't maybe taking enough feedback. So when I came to Nevada, I asked, like, hey, who are the key coaches that need some input on these things? And we get together. We were getting together quarterly before, but we're going to get back together here right after spring break. And I've just got some topics that, like, I feel like I've got a pretty good idea where we should go as a systems approach, but I need to get some feedback from the people that matter. And once I have that feedback, then I can say, hey, like, look, some of your respected colleagues here think we should go this way too. And it's not just a, hey, Mr. Smith said we're going to go this direction. I would say that's one example of some overall systems approaches. We try to be, I take a lot of pride in being very consistent. If a student, we're students first in the student athlete world, and we expect you to be at school all day. And if you're not at school all day and you don't have an excused absence, a doctor note, et cetera, we're really consistent on, well, you can't practice or play tonight. And I think that takes a lot of, like, backbone, right? Because you've got the one kid you feel so bad for, they overslept. I remember my first or second year at Nevada, one of my favorite kids skipped a seminar. It was a football game night. I'm like, you can't play tonight. And I think some of our systems approaches really depend on how consistent we can be to implement what's going on in that system. And we take a lot of pride in that consistency. Also, when you think about, like, a systems approach, you're only as good as the people who are working within your system. And fortunately, like, we work around a lot of great people here at Nevada, the teachers, the coaches, the community members. They buy into some of those things and they like the direction we're going. And they're the biggest players in that, because a lot of times they're out making sure that our systems are working in the classrooms, on the athletic fields. So just some thoughts on systems approach in general. I pride myself on, like I said, consistency, and I probably could be told that sometimes over communication of things, but we make sure that everything's communicated really well. And try to touch base with everyone to make sure everyone's on the same path.
Awesome. That's great. So, Dustin, as you know, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit, but in Iowa, as well as really across the United States, the teacher shortage is, it's real, right? It's here. So part of that is we know that fewer people are going into the teacher pipeline. So our pools, teacher candidate pools, obviously then are smaller because we have fewer people in that pipeline. So how, in your opinion, how can we attract people to the profession? What are some thoughts that you have?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think if you asked 100 different people, like, what you could do, you're going to get 100 different answers, right? When you start thinking about that, if you're thinking as maybe an aspiring teacher, someone who's considering going into teaching, like, you might think, well, I want, like, a living wage and, like, I want to live in a community where there's things to do. So when you think about aspiring teachers, some of that's a little bit in our control, but out of our control, right? School budgets are set at the highest level often, and what we can pay teachers often is set there. But I do think a lot of that actually, the communities can do a lot to attract teachers into their community. I just thinking of an aspiring teacher, those are some things that come to mind. I want a good income, and I want to live somewhere where there's something to do. But if you ask a current teacher, and if you put your teaching shoes on, I think teachers would tell you is that they want to be supported and they want teamwork from their peers and their admin. I think the tricky part is how do you explain that to an aspiring teacher, someone who's looking into it, that, hey, you want to get into teaching because you're going to be supported and you're going to have good peers to work with and good admin. That's hard to explain to someone who's looking for a paycheck and you know, they're younger and trying to look for something fun to do. I think as administrators, maybe we could do a better job of celebrating teachers and showing like the respect for teaching. Maybe there's some more promotion we can do. I do feel like as a district, we are able to celebrate a lot of teachers. But that's when they do something really big, right? A big award.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to celebrate teachers more for some of the smaller things that they're doing, and then show community and others that there's a lot of value in teaching. It's a tricky question, and I don't know if there's a great answer for it. I think that one of the biggest things we can do is also help parents understand that their approach with teachers sometimes I think that parents' words and the way they approach things, they don't understand maybe how a teacher feels after that interaction. And sometimes the teacher can feel really small after some interactions, and that a collaborative approach is the best way to approach some things. And I think that as administrators, we can maybe help with some of that to helping the parent teacher relationship as well.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your words. You kind of led in with some of your comments, Dustin, to the next question, really about that educator burnout. And then what strategies do you believe that we as leaders can implement or use that help reduce that, which when you talked about support, that's made me think, you know, how our support is so important to our staff, and that can help reduce some of that. But what are other thoughts you have around strategies to help reduce that for our teachers?
So, you know, as this is an SAI podcast, we're probably speaking to a group of administrators as a large portion of the audience here. And I would say, like, if I had taken like three pieces of advice that when I initially got them, I was like, yeah, whatever, I'm not going to do that. And then I did it and it worked. I had early on when I was a young teacher, I had my first daughter, Brooklyn, and my principal, Miss Polk, said like, hey, like I'm a little bit, Miss Polk didn't have any children. I'm a little bit jealous of you. You now like have an excuse to go home at 3:30. Like if you've got children and a family to go home to, make sure that's important. I can sit here till 6, 7, 8 o'clock every night and never stop working. But I've learned to use my kids as an excuse to get out of here. Hey, Cam's got basketball practice, so I'm going to make sure that I'm on time to get him to that. The kids need picked up from daycare today because my wife needs to stay late for a meeting. I'm getting out of here instead of putting in those extra hours that we can sit here forever. That's one thing. I use your kids as an excuse. And it's not an excuse. It's like life, right? But yeah, get out when you can and spend time with your family. The second thing that I was never, I was an athlete in high school, but I never really loved working out. And I never really found anything that I could do to work out that was systemic and stayed the course. But I have found actually that like Peloton and biking works for me. It's in my basement. I can go downstairs and do it. That's a half hour or an hour of my time. In my head, you know, by myself on a bike. I not only use it for me time, but it also makes me feel better. I never feel I never feel bad after I get off of a bike ride. And it's just something that it took 2 or 3 months of doing it every day. But now it's a habit and it's helped me. And that's something that I would have said 10 years ago. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And the third thing, Mrs. Denai at our elementary, the principal of the year last year, 2 years ago, one day we were at an admin meeting and my phone dinged, my email alerts, right? And she's like, why do you have alerts on, you know, why do you get a alert every time your email comes through? Well, how would I do it any other way? Like, I have to get that email. And I went and shut off my email notifications on vacation and I never turned it back on, right? I can go in and look at my email whenever I want to, and they're going to be there. But I don't need that red 10 sitting next to the, or 50 or whatever it gets to. I shut off my email notifications on my phone and it was life-changing. It was small, but it was life-changing. And just like Mrs. Denai told me, yeah, you can do that and you'll be fine. I would tell other administrators, you can do that and you'll be fine. I shut off the email notifications. That's really helped me a lot with maybe some things related to burnout.
Yeah, you know, Dustin, what I'm hearing in your responses is you as the leader, you're modeling, right? Because we have to take care of ourselves in order to be able to, as we're in service to so many people, whether it's staff, students, families, right? Community members. So you're modeling that for your administrative colleagues, for your teachers in the building, and even, you know, you think about kids. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for sharing those strategies.
Yeah. And I would add, like, you know, it's good for my kids too, to like out the working out. My 3-year-old, whenever she sees me working out, she wants to put on Cosmic Kids Yoga. And they're like even being active now, like seeing me be active. Whereas 10 years ago, it would have been me on the couch, probably with a computer on my lap, trying to do work. But they're seeing that. And I think there is a lot of modeling, goes both ways, to peers and to the children that are around you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you get to be involved in staff hires as an administrator. So share your philosophy behind identifying those best candidates.
Yeah. So at the end of each a coaching interview is typically something that I'm going to lead as the activities director. My last question on any coaching interview is remove the X's and O's from the equation at the end of the X season. How are you going to make Nevada High School students better people? And I think that's really important, probably the most important question. What are you going to do to make them better people? And I think you can kind of boil down with interviewing quickly. You're looking for people who know how to, want to, or verbalize that they're willing and ready to make relationships with students, because without the relationship piece, the coaching and the teaching is not going to work. And I would say that if I had to err on the side of hiring between two candidates that are very, very similar or almost equal, it may be a little corny, but like, which one of these people do I think would love my kid, like, mm-hmm. as much as I do? And I want to hire the person that I think would love my children as much, as close to how I do as I do. And how are they going to love my kids? And I think that's really important when you hire someone.
Yeah, not corny at all, Dustin. Not corny at all. So, all right. So you're a leader. What is the best leadership moment you've had since you've been serving as an assistant principal?
I think the things that I'm most proud of in my role are creating student opportunities. We talked about like the internship opportunities, right? But in my time at Nevada, we've been able to actually add girls tennis, boys tennis. We've made a co-op with girls wrestling that's been really successful. We've also added other activities, including esports, 3 seasons of esports. Coach Kleeman has started an ethics bowl. Miss Bidney has created an FCCLA program. I've had a larger hand in some of those than others. But we've really been able to build and give students extra opportunities. We're a 3A school, right? We're not a small school. We're not a large school. But you can really see that with these additional opportunities, we've gotten to like another layer of students and getting them involved. Most of our tennis athletes, they're probably an athlete in another sport, but maybe not a spring sport. And I think it's gotten a handful of other students that maybe wouldn't be involved in tennis. And the girls tennis program has been really cool because I don't know if you've been to like a high school tennis match, but like, you know, you go to a basketball game and the student sections want to like kill each other, right? Yeah. But you go to a tennis match and it's just like relaxing. And it's a really enjoyable experience. And Coach Gray does an awesome job with our girls there. And I'm really looking forward to the first year of boys tennis here as well. I'd say my thing I'm proudest of is just the creation of new opportunities and always looking to grow what we're doing here.
So what's your favorite part of your school day?
I guess I've never really looked at it like that. Maybe a bit of a cop out, but sometimes I get to go over to the elementary school just for different things. And I get to see my own kids in their classroom. And they're really excited to see me in their building. And they think it's cool because it's like their place, right? And I love getting to see like my kids interact with their friends and other people. I've never really thought about that question before, right? What I can tell you is that my favorite thing is not lunch supervision. That's not my favorite part of the day. Outside of that, most parts of the day are pretty good.
Yeah. You know, you and every other administrator that I know anyway, as far as lunch supervision, seems to be like the least fun part of the day for sure.
Yeah, it's not always fun.
No, I remember those days. So you serve as a dual role with the assistant principal and your activity director, your AD. So that's a lot, right? When you think about role and responsibility. So how do you make that work?
Yeah, so you have to be a little crazy, like a few screws loose, a little willing to like fly around, right? I don't always have it together. But, you know, we act like we do and we get through. I actually just at SAI mentoring, I believe that was Tuesday. Today's days are all running together. Another new administrator had brought up that the AP role takes up most of his day, but the AD side is what the community sees. And he felt like he was putting a lot of time into his AP role but then he was getting some complaints that the AD side wasn't going well because that's what people see. And I can commiserate with that a bit, right? Like I feel like most of my day now after COVID, a lot of my day is spent doing a lot of the AP role. And then I get to do a lot of that AD stuff, maybe at the end of the day or into the evening sometimes. When we've got some of those supervision pieces, you just have to be a little crazy. I like to stay ahead of things by over communicating. I try to typically stay 2 weeks ahead of whatever I'm doing. And if I'm 2 weeks ahead on my communication, then I find the problems ahead of time. And then I don't have those problems when I get there, because I'm going to have in the AP role, I'm going to have some day-to-day problems that pop up. The AD role I can control a little bit more and get out in front of. And I would also, you know, argue that on the AP side of things, each head coach has their own, like, they're in charge of that program. And I take a lot of pride in letting good head coaches take off and run their program. So maybe I have to worry about the AD part a little bit less because I've got a head coach that's controlling each of their individual programs. So,
yeah. So Dustin, in your response, you mentioned mentoring, right? And so I'm going to ask you about that. So you serve as an SAI mentor, and we're so thankful for that, especially when you consider how busy you are. So you said yes to adding a little bit more time and supporting a new person, a new AP. So thank you. So why did you say yes to us when we called?
So it's really necessary, right? I believe that networking and being able to work with someone is one of the most important things. If you feel like you're on an island, you're going to be on an island, and things probably aren't going to go very well. So shout out to Brad Kaler. He's at Glidden-Ralston as the APAD at Glidden-Ralston. I've been mentoring with Brad for the year. And the first thing I said to Brad was, as far as the AD role goes, I go, have you like identified someone in your conference that like you can call whenever you have a question? Like, listen, I can be your guy. Nevada and Glidden-Ralston look a little bit different, but you need someone in your conference that you can call and like, hey, I've got this. Like, what's that look like at your place? Brad's been doing a great job out there. It's been fun to bounce some things off of him. Because Brad does have some experience at Newton. So like a similar size school to Nevada. And then we get to kind of compare and contrast with him at Glidden-Ralston. It reminds me a little bit of some of my time at Janesville. So it's been kind of a fun world to work back and forth. We need people to step up and mentor. Everybody needs somebody and probably more than one, but to have that formal mentor, I think is really important, especially if you're at a smaller school and maybe you don't have as many supports in the way of admin team to bounce things off of.
Yeah. Have you, I know when I've served as a mentor before, I always felt like I learned as much as my mentee. What have you learned in your role as a mentor?
Yeah, I absolutely right. And it's kind of fun to see with Brad. So there's a lot of changes going on, especially in the AD world with like communication. So we've used our school today for years, and now Bound is coming on the scene for some communication pieces. So it's kind of fun to learn some of those things together, but then also like see some of like the new things that, well, I've always done things this way. Brad just did it that way, but that way worked pretty well, pretty good as well. I think it, have learned a lot just having conversations with Brad. When we talk about the discipline pieces, it's fun to see like some things that we're aligned on and some things where I'm like, yeah, I probably wouldn't have done it that way, but if it worked for you, like, you know, maybe that's an approach you should take. So it also gives some perspective on maybe a different way to address a student on maybe a discipline issue. But yeah, there's a lot of learning that goes along with it on my end as well, where it's almost like when you get your first student teacher, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, yeah, you know, I need to do some of this too. And you see that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I'm going to, on you again. So how do you engineer or support your own leadership development?
Yeah. And I think like that, the SAI mentoring is actually a bit of a piece of that. Something that maybe goes unseen is in the world. And I talk, there's a lot of AP and a lot of AD things. It is like two full-time jobs for me. ADs have just a vast network. I know every AD in the area and we talk often, right? I actually just missed a call from, Nate Boak and Ballard. I got to get him a call back here after this. I think the networking with other ADs and other assistant principals is probably the greatest way to step up your leadership development. And when I evaluate coaches, one of my job targets at the end might be is like continue to like establish a network. Our football coach, Coach Kleeman, does a great job aligning himself with coaches so that they can bounce ideas off of each other. Having that AD role actually makes it much easier for me to have those networks because we have a built-in monthly meeting. I go in there, hey, are you having this problem at your school? What are you doing? Hey, have you seen this yet? What are you doing with that? And I'm getting 7 or 8 different perspectives from other schools that you just can't get that every day. You can go on as many forums as you want to and read whatever you want to, but that real-time feedback from the network is invaluable. And I think that leadership development, that part of my leadership development, I love having that network. And through part of that, I sit on the Central Iowa AD district leadership team. And I'll be the executive director next year of that. And that networking has really helped as well through that organization.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, one final question. So what advice would you give to other assistant principals that might be listening to this podcast?
So some advice that I would give is don't be afraid to admit that you don't know, that you don't know something. I often, when asked a question or am asked like how we should proceed on things, I'm just like, hey, I need to grab some more perspectives. I need to talk to some people. I need some more time to make a decision. Sometimes we can get caught up thinking we know all the answers. And sometimes we just need to slow down for a day. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I need to sleep on it tonight. Hey, I need to ask some more people about that before I get back to you. I think that some of my greatest growth as a leader is asking other colleagues questions, pulling in a lot of information, and then making decisions on what works best for us or me, instead of just making a decision that I think works best in the moment. So my advice would be don't always think you know the answer. Be willing to take in perspectives.
Yeah, that's great advice. So Dustin, I just once again, thank you so much. I know how busy your days are, and your days go way into the evenings at times, right, with your AD role as well. So thank you for giving of your time to join me on our podcast, and congratulations once again for being selected as the 2023 Assistant Secondary Principal of the Year.
Hey, thanks, Lisa.
Be sure to join us for next month's episode when we welcome leaders from the Iowa Department of Education, Iowa's AEAs, Iowa Association of School Boards, and Iowa State Education Association.